Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is the 195.1 FM. And, of course, for almost 50 years, KYMN Radio 1080 AM, one of the first AM stereo stations in the United States of America, and one of the last to stop broadcasting in stereo as it didn't work out. Oh, I'll tell you something, work out. That's my guest. We'll be talking to my guest about working out in just a moment, but I just want to comment once again what a gorgeous morning today is. And yes, I know that it is Setnamai, and when I first came to Northfield some 50 years ago, I was told that it was Setnamai, and I had no idea what that meant, Setnamai. And then I did go to a couple of celebrations. I don't know if they still have celebrations in town where the Setnamai people get together and they dress in their Norwegian costumes. It sure is a lot of fun to see those people and all those great foods and bakeries that they make. Setnamai. So happy anniversary to those of you of Norwegian descent. Oh, let's see. Today is the 17th day of May, and the year is 2018. And my guest here this morning is Craig Swenson. And I did not know that, Craig, you've been in our studios or on the air with us before here at KYMN.
Yes, we do.
I didn't know that until just as we walked in and you said, hi, Jeff, and you guys know each other? I don't know you from what you do for a living. I met you at a function here in the community that's held, I think, once a month, third Tuesday of the month for Toastmasters.
Yep, we actually meet the first and third of each month.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
I always thought it was the third. Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yep.
All right. Well, anyhow, I had the opportunity to attend that meeting. I was invited by a former employee of KYMN, and that would be Ray Young. And I did have the opportunity to meet several of the members and invited several to join me on the air. And you are one of those. And I think you have to tell me who came up with that great name, 50 North.
Well, actually, we had a committee that came together and brought together many, many names. We had thousands of names that the committee came up with. And the committee came together about maybe six names. They brought it down to about six names. And the individual that we were working with, the branding individual that we were working with, had looked at all the six names and then went and did logos and trade names for all of them, came back, and we just were him and Han on all six of them, and it came down to it that he had a little special one in his pocket that he pulled out, and he said, let me show you 50 North, let me show you the logo, let me show you the tagline, and let me show you what it looks like, and we just said, that's it, right there.
Was it his presentation then?
It was his presentation.
So the contest didn't have a winner?
Nope.
Anybody disappointed about that?
I think we've had some rave reviews about the new name.
Now, maybe you don't know, but because it was a professional, did you have to pay him for that? Whereas in a contest, a person would, you know, not get any compensation.
Yep, he was a contractor.
Okay. But I like the name, 50 North. And, of course, for those of you that don't know what that means, I used to call it the Nickrick, and people did not like that. Well, I've heard people not say they didn't like it, not too many, but Northfield, what is the full name, or used to be?
We used to be Northfield Senior Center.
Northfield Senior Center. I wonder why I call it Nickrick. But anyhow,
Northfield. Probably due to the fact that it was in the building of Northfield Community Resource Center.
That's it. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
All right. And that is located just west and a little bit south of the high school.
Exactly.
And it's a place where a lot of services are provided, and a lot of individual organizations officer?
Most definitely. We've got, I believe, 11 different nonprofit organizations that are in that building.
Nonprofits.
Yep.
Well, let's find out, Craig, who they are off the top of your head.
Oh, gosh. We've got HCI. We've got...
If you could tell the name.
Healthy Community Initiative. We've got Community Action Center. There's Head Start. There is Community Ed, 50 North. They've got some other little smaller other programs, many other different programs that are over at that.
Yeah, I'm putting you on the spot trying to remember 11 names. Yep. I can't remember two. So that building, of course, houses a lot of opportunities for individuals 50-plus. And you join as a member?
Yes. Yep, you can be a member, and we do also encourage individuals of the community to come in and at least try it and see how they like it. We do have many group exercise classes. We have open usage. If the individuals are over the age of 50, the open usage, they can come in and try it out and see how they like the facility. We do have a warm water pool set at 89 degrees, and then we have our wonderful updated fitness center that we updated close to 3 years ago.
Yeah, no, that, do you still have the hot tub?
We still have the hot tub and the sauna.
What's the temperature of the hot tub?
Hot tub stays roughly around about 103.
103, all right.
Yeah.
Now, people that have circulation problems, I'm told, should not use a hot tub.
Yes.
At least I was told that, and for whatever reason, I thought it'd be good because it'd thin your blood out or something, but you have to stay out. And you also have to, you know, be very careful if you have a cut or anything like that.
Extremely.
But now, your particular position, by the way, folks, if you just tuned in, I'm speaking to Craig Swenson. And what is your official title at 50 North?
Well, I am the assistant director, the fitness coordinator, and a personal trainer at 50 North.
And you're the guy that is like a sergeant?
Pretty much.
And is that for mostly 50-plus?
50-plus.
Okay. Now, can people below 50 use the facilities?
Yes, they can. We do offer a medical membership, so if our facility is warranted for their needs, and let's say, for example, the hot tub or the sauna would be something that they're needed, or the warm water pool or even the fitness facility that we have, they can get a doctor's recommendation and they can have a membership through the doctor's recommendation.
But a perfectly healthy 35-year-old would have no opportunity.
They can come in and take our group exercise classes.
And what classes?
The group exercise classes.
Okay.
Along with also a few of our other programs that we have going. We have wonderful art programs at the 50 North, and we have also what we call lifelong learning programs. Those programs have a wide variety of topics. They could be talking about politics. They could be talking about daily health, insurances, and state planning. That we just had one yesterday. It was about state planning. So any individual can actually take advantage of those. It would just be the open usage of the facility that they'd have to be over the age of 50.
Okay, so if a person wanted to attend some of the things you just mentioned, is there an individual program charge, or do you have to join as a member to take advantage of them? And then even if you are a member, is there a charge for various programs?
There is charges. If you are a non-member, there are charges. Sometimes we do offer some programs for free. It depends upon the program that we are offering. We do also have different types of memberships, and it depends upon the types of membership that the individual gets. That can actually, depending upon how much they'll pay for it, sometimes if they get what we call the platinum equivalent, it would be either a free or just material for the program itself.
Well, what does it cost to join something like that?
Well, we've got, like I said, we've got multiple different types of memberships.
Okay.
So there are different classifications of those memberships. And those memberships also can actually be helped with your health insurance. Easy way of asking us on that one is actually coming in talking to Jackie Johnson, who is our membership coordinator. And she can actually look at your insurance and see if your insurance would help you get a membership at the center. And what type of level of insurance that you would be able to get.
Okay, so I'm a guy that's over 50, and I want to use the weight room, and I want to go to some of the classes.
Mm-hmm.
How much is that going to cost? Do you have any idea?
Well, we like I said, we've
single membership.
Single membership. We do have the general membership, and then we also have the gold membership. I believe the gold membership, I believe it is $48 each month for it. I could be wrong, so don't quote me on that.
Yeah, I understand that. So if you want to use the facilities, it's going to cost you $500 a year, approximately.
Approximately.
A little bit more. Okay. You know, I was thinking the other day, and I started twirling my arms and putting them above my head and touching my hands behind my back. And I was thinking, I remember watching people either at your place, 50 North, or over at the Northfield Retirement Center, or at Three Links Center, mm-hmm. and having classes of people that were over 50, well over 50, some of them. And that's what they were doing. I'm going, that's called exercise? You know, because this was years ago, and I'm thinking, you know, when they get down to do the push-ups and the jumping jacks and all that. And then now in my lifetime, at this part of my life, I realize that some of the muscles must atrophy if you don't keep them active. Is that, give me your idea on that, since you're the man.
That's actually very true. We do see that on a quite regular basis, and we do notice that, well, studies have shown that actually over the age of 40 for women, some women, and over the age of 50 for some men, that the muscle retention and muscle activity actually can lessen. It doesn't mean that the individual cannot strengthen, it cannot gain range of motion and so forth, but it just simply means that over that age, it's more, actually a little bit more important for that individual to stay active and stay with those joints and get those joints moving as much as possible, and making sure that you're getting all the joints working correctly and in all different planes of motion.
Now, you probably deal with some people that are on both ends of the scale. Let's say that somebody's 75, all right? I imagine you must deal with somebody that can hardly stand up in 2 seconds, or somebody that has to take little steps, or somebody that can't open a jar.
Yep.
And then you might have some 75-year-olds that could do all kinds of jumping jacks and pump weight and run in place, and you get both ends of the spectrum, right?
We do. We actually... which is kind of neat. I used to teach around about 21 classes a week, and when I took on this position as the assistant director and the fitness coordinator, I dropped down to only teaching one class a week. And in that one class that I teach, there's a wide variety of individuals, and it's in all of our classes that we have at the fitness center is that we've got a wide variety of individuals. And it always encourages me, because I have an individual that's in the class that's 102, and he could put me to shame when it comes to exercise. And I'm going, I hope to goodness that I'm as good as he is at the age of 40. I mean, he's
How old are you now?
I'm 34.
Okay. Well, 34 is a great year, by the way.
Isn't it?
I remember some of the things that I did when I was 34. Some of them I don't want to remember. But anyhow, so you do have people all the way up to 102 that are in there exercising.
Yes.
And when are the classes held, and are there more than one or two a week where people, adults, 50 North people, could come in and have a regiment of exercise on a daily or biweekly or whatever?
Almost definitely. At 50 North, we're very proud to actually service the community with 62 classes, ongoing classes, each week.
Wow.
So we have 62 ongoing classes, and with those 62 ongoing classes, we have a wide variety of the classes, from chair-based classes for individuals that may need to be in a chair or needing the assistance of the chair, all the way up to step aerobics. We've got high-impact aerobic classes. Now, that doesn't mean that an individual that is wheelchair-bound can't go in and actually do some of the other classes. I've been really, really adamant on that with our exercise classes, that we are catering to individuals of all needs. So I don't want anybody to feel that they are too shy or that they're never going to be able to do anything. We always are able to adapt our classes.
No, I'd call you sergeant because that's how they shipshape men and women that join the service, and they hate the drill sergeant.
Yes.
And then after they get out, they love the guy or the woman because they pushed them to their max, and they didn't realize they could do this and that. So what about the embarrassment factor for some individuals that would go in and do exercises? Do you have them? Did you just say that you have like a beginner and a middle and an end or whatever you call it? Advanced or whatever?
Yep, we've got a wide variety of classes, and like I said, any individual can come into any of the classes, and we will adapt those classes for any individual of any stature to come into those classes.
What time of the day?
We have classes that run all the way from 7 a.m. in the morning. Mostly a lot of our classes are in the morning time frame. We have them from 7 a.m. until probably about 1 p.m. Then we take a little bit of break, and then we do some evening classes. And we do have some evening classes starting around about 4:30.
How long are the classes?
Some of the classes are 45 minutes. We do have classes that go up to an hour and a half. We have one class that's on Wednesday afternoons. That's an hour and a half class.
And that they are the advanced people?
Nope, that one is... like I said, individuals of all different statures can come into those classes.
Do you hold those in that room that's immediately to your right when you walk in the front door?
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
A good portion of those classes are being held in that room. We do also hold aqua classes in our pool itself.
What if I know some lady that praised the aqua classes quite a bit. So my question is, what if you... just wanted to do the exercise on a daily or drop in when you, let's say that you're available at 8 a.m. and it's a 45 minute class. You can go almost anywhere in 15 minutes in Northfield. Can you have a membership where you just drop in when you want to?
Yep, we do have the our gold membership, which allows the individuals to get the group exercise classes for free, and they can come and go as they want. It doesn't mean that they have to start on a certain date to take those classes and end on a certain date. They can come and go at any time, and we have many individuals that do that.
Okay.
Yep, they come in for their leisure exercise.
So do you pay more attention to one individual than another based on how they're accomplishing the exercise you recommend?
I try to actually keep a contact or keep a close eye on everybody, making sure that everybody is succeeding in the way that they want to be succeeding.
Okay. How about weight?
Weight, I do try to push the individuals a little bit with the weight, you know, letting them know that it's okay to be comfortable with a certain weight, but at times it's also good to kind of push yourself a little bit. If you're getting comfortable with 2 pounds, maybe we want to ump it up to 3 pounds next week, or maybe up to 4 pounds and see how that goes.
Pump it up?
Yep.
4 pounds or lose 4 pounds?
Oh, use higher weights.
Oh, weights.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So person could stop by, talk to Jackie,
yep,
and they could say, you know, I want to really get involved in everything, and it's X amount of dollars, and another person says, I just want to drop into the exercise classes when I feel like it, and she'll say, well, here's that package.
Yep, exactly.
And
like I said, she's wonderful at being able to look at the membership, looking at the individual's insurance and seeing if there's any possibility of the person getting a free membership or even a rebate or a reimbursement for mm-hmm. that from mm-hmm. the insurance.
What about that group that has lunch there? I know the defeated Jesse James Day's Raiders and the Ambassadors and others visit there every single year for many years. And sometimes there's 20 people there, sometimes there's 11. What is that program?
Well, we have the wonderful Sunshine Cafe. It is Monday for Friday, and it is at 11 a.m. it starts, and we go all the way till 1 p.m. Monday for Friday, and they will offer what we call a SEMCAC meal. It is a government-subsidized meal that individuals can come in and utilize and eat. It's wonderful, wonderful food. We also have the a la carte meal, which is soup and sandwiches. We do have those going. Right now we have suspended the soups until fall time frame, but we do have some burgers going. We've got also different types of sandwiches. So individuals can choose from the a la carte choice or the meal of the day that we have there.
Now, do you have to be a member to take advantage of that?
Not one bit.
Okay, so it really is a cafe.
It is a cafe.
There must be a fee of some sort.
There is a fee for the Sunshine Cafe meal, which is through SEMCAC. It is a $4 donation to SEMCAC.
Donation?
Donation.
That means if you can't afford it.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. We can help out with that. And then when it comes to the a la carte, depending upon what you want, it could be from $6 to $7, depending upon if you're wanting a sandwich or a cup of soup or so forth.
And there's plenty of parking. And the cafe, Sunshine Cafe,
yep,
has probably lower prices than you'll find in a regular restaurant. And except maybe the Quarterback Club, where they have fantastic food at reasonable prices. Do you stop in the Quarterback Club occasionally?
I do. I love that place.
What's your favorite thing?
I'd have to say the ribs.
The ribs. Hey, good for you.
The ribs are the best.
You know, it's the most expensive thing on the menu.
It is.
But it's still well below the price of ribs anywhere else.
It is.
And, oh, they are delicious. I like to say there's mountains of madness oozing all over them in the famous sauce. The meat falls off the bone.
It does.
And, of course, breakfast. They have wonderful breakfast. And, they even serve hot cereal or cold cereal or baked goodies, or you can get the whole bit, you know, the bacon and eggs and hash browns and whatever. It's a great place to go. Locally owned and locally managed. We're talking about the Quarterback Club, located on Highway 3 and 3rd Street in Northfield, Minnesota. Craig Swenson is my guest this morning, and we'll be back with Craig in just a moment.
Soul to Soul, the world tour. Tim McGraw and Faith Hill. Saturday, July 7th, Target Center.
I had a barbecue stain on my white t-shirt.
Two superstars, one amazing night. Saturday, July 7th, Target Center. The rest of our life, their first album together. Available now. Tickets are on sale now at AXS.com.
This is David Lutescher of Grundhoffer & Lutescher, Attorneys at Law. Marv and I, and the best legal staff anywhere, are pleased to introduce you to the newest members of our legal team, Jennifer Novak. Jennifer grew up in Lonsdale. She was previously a law clerk to several judges and has years of experience in social work. Jennifer joins Marv, me, and Robin Finke. Robin joined us last year. Robin has over two decades of experience, much of it as a trial attorney. And for the curious, yes, Marv still comes in every day.
As a matter of fact, yesterday, all my troubles. Every time I say yesterday, I think of that song. Yesterday, I stopped by the Hideaway coffee shop at about 8:15 or so. And who was there? Marv Grundhoffer, having a cup of coffee and some rolls, enjoying himself. I saw Tom Neville there, and I saw Dwayne Benson there, and I saw Bill Barnes there, and I saw Don Pavic there, and I saw, I think it's John from the insurance company up on Division and 8th Street, I think. Anyhow, what was my point? Oh, Dave Lutescher, yeah, in the Twins baseball. There we go. And I saw Marv Grundhoffer, and he's in his 90s, and he's been mayor of Northfield on two different occasions, once when I first came to town and then about 25 years later. Craig Swenson is my guest at 27 minutes after 9 o'clock on this beautiful Thursday morning. Plenty of sunshine, busier than heck downtown Northfield. And today is Setna Mai, and there's a big wine tasting thing going on at the Grand Event Center tonight. I'll tell you, it's great to live in Northfield. Craig Swenson makes it even greater by helping people keep their health, keep their mobility, and I pretty much got that right there, right?
True.
So tell me one of your success stories that, go ahead and cogitate, but what I'm asking is that somebody came in, Maybe they were timid. Maybe they were obnoxious. Maybe they were overweight. Maybe they were too thin. Maybe they couldn't lift 5 pounds. Maybe they could lift 100 pounds. But tell me one of your stories that you say to yourself, you know what, I made a change in that person's life for the better.
Well, one of the things is at 50 North, when it comes to being a personal trainer, is I specialize in individuals with what we call special needs. Individuals that maybe have had a stroke, individuals that maybe had a knee replacement, hip replacement, all different special needs. That is one of my qualifications for personal training. I've done a lot of research, done a lot of qualifications and certifications for that. And one of the success stories that I would say is an individual that I worked with who had multiple lappendectomies done. Which is...
Multiple...
Lappendectomies. Which is actually taking part of the spine off of and allowing the spinal column or the spine itself to expand in the spinal area because of the spine having too much compression onto the spine. So they take part of that spinal column off. And the individual came with extreme pain, had just worked with a physical therapist. And we at 50 North, we do work with the physical therapists along with what their recommendations are and what they're wanting us to continue on with the individuals. So we're working on quote-unquote post-rehab with the individual. The individual came to me with some stability issues, walking with a cane, really having some issues of trying to figure out where his feet were when he was walking, not really having the confidence in being able to walk, and having kind of a weird gait, and his stature was a little bit also where he'd be hunched over. Today, after working with him for 6 years, we do have him walking without a cane. We have him walking up nice and straight, no pain whatsoever, and he's absolutely loving the things that he is doing.
Loving life.
Loving life.
It's 9:29 on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is Craig Swenson. And, you know, as you grow older, and not in your case because you work with the elderly, if you will, but as you mature, as you get older, you realize all the different health problems a person can have.
That is true.
And it's like just now what you said. I never heard of that before. Am I going to get that? You know, and there's so many different things. And, of course, the common things are knee replacements and hip replacements. And by the way, I talked to Tom Neville yesterday. Do you know Tom?
Yes, I do.
Former Senator, Judge Tom Neville. I talked to him yesterday, and he was on my show about 2-3 months ago, and he has cancer. And his expectation to live was 6 to 12 months. And he told me yesterday that they've extended that, that he's going to make it past 12 months. So
great.
I thought that was great news. So, like I say, you find out about all these various maladies that individuals have that you've never even heard of. You know, from skin infections to lungs to ears. You know, I got a standing joke that I get up in the morning and I put on my leg and I go into the shower, take my leg off, take a shower, put my leg back on. Then I go in and I sit on the bed and I take my leg off and I put my pants on and then I put my leg back on and then I walk over to the mirror and I put my eyes in and I put my ears in and I put my teeth in and then I grab a needle and I put that in my stomach. Ugh. Then they go back to bed. Is that funny?
Well,
I mean, it's the truth. Is it funny? I always wonder if I should use that as an opening when I do some MC work.
Well, it's a great tagline. I mean, a lot of individuals have different things that are going on with them.
Yeah, if I ever spoke at your place, I could use that. They'd all get it.
Toastmasters would love it.
So this show, of course, is all about you. And we now know what you do for a living. And now I'm going to ask you if you can tell me where you were born or raised.
I was born and raised here in Northfield.
I didn't know that till just now. Okay. The name Swenson is familiar to me, but I don't know you. So you're born in Northfield. Did you go to Northfield High School?
I did.
And what year did you get out of Northfield High School?
I graduated in 2003.
You're just a puppy. 2003. To you, that seems like 12 years ago.
Yes.
But actually, that's poor arithmetic. It's 15 years ago. Wow. That's something, 2003. Okay. So, do you have siblings?
I have one brother.
And what's his name?
My brother's name is Chad.
Chad?
Chad.
C-H-A-D?
Yep.
Oh, is he younger or older?
He is older.
Okay. By how much?
3 years.
Okay. So, that's nice to have a big brother.
Oh, most definitely.
Sometimes, maybe not, when you were, 15, 14.
A few times.
Yeah. And who are your parents?
Nancy and Alan.
Nancy and Alan, okay. Nancy Swenson.
Yep.
And Alan Swenson. What did your mom and dad do? Any profession or work? What do they do for a living or did or whatever?
Well, my father just recently retired a few years back. He worked for the railroad for 40 plus years, I believe it was. He worked with the railroad. He was part of the rail gang for a while, and then he was signal maintainer. And my mother currently works at Corbett Chiropractic. She is the chiropractic assistant and office manager.
Okay. I know Mr. Corbett in the Community Resource Bank building.
Exactly.
On Highway 3 South on the east side. Well, let's talk a little bit about your dad. There's, I always find a connection somehow with my guests, no matter what.
Sure.
And one of the connections is I had a brother-in-law who passed away a couple of years ago by the name of Don Detley. Does that sound familiar? Don Detley?
It does ring a bell.
Because he worked on the railroad and retired from the railroad.
Okay.
And he, I can't remember what he did, but I think he did something. I don't know if he rode the trains or whatever. And my wife's father, who passed away a long time ago, he worked for the railroad. So working on the railroad is something that I can observe and say you and I have in common. We have a lot of lanterns in our house that are collectibles that hang. So did you ever get to go to work with your dad?
I didn't get to go to work with him. Every once in a while we would go out and see the rails and see what he was doing and so forth, but never went to work with him.
Yeah, did you ever ride the putt-putt?
Unfortunately not.
Okay.
Which I did.
Ever ride the train with him?
Unfortunately, I didn't.
Ever get to go in the engine?
Nope.
Caboose?
Nope.
Oh. What railroad?
He worked, it was Chicago Northwestern when he first started with him, and then they transitioned, I believe they got bought out by Union Pacific Railroad.
All right. And that, I'm old enough to remember I took trains as a passenger, and the jobs are really desirable, I don't know if they still are, I assume they may be, because they had good pay and good pension plans. And then there was a thing called feather bedding. Do you know what that is?
Unfortunately, I don't.
Okay. It all started from what I believe when they didn't need firemen anymore on the railroad because they weren't using coal-burning, steam-producing engines. They went to diesel. And as they phased out these fun old smoke choo-choo trains, the union said, wait a minute, you can't shut this guy out. He's in the union and he's working for the railroad. And so they would ride trains, and they called it feather bedding because it was just a comfy job. You didn't really do anything. That's my interpretation, folks. If you have a different interpretation, good for you. So, anyhow, so there you go. You learned a new word today. And I learned a new word today about the stomach, or whatever was it? The back guy? The guy with the bad back?
Lappendectomy.
Lappendectomy, yeah. Okay, you can say it. All right. So you got a brother that's 3 years older than you. Nancy works for a chiropractor, and your dad is retired.
Yep.
Is he still living?
He's still living.
Okay, what's he doing in his retirement?
Well, he's taking care of his grandchildren and also working on the family farm.
Okay, a family farm.
Yep.
Is it a hobby farm or...
Well, they do have a family farm. He grew up in Castle Rock, and they just recently, a few years back, got some cattle, and he enjoys going out there and helping with the cattle and helping his younger brother with working on the fields and doing odd things out there.
What's your uncle's name?
My uncle's name is Donnie.
Donnie? So Donnie Swenson.
Yes.
Okay. And raising cattle.
Yep.
Are they doing grain also? Planting corn, wheat.
Yep, he does corn and I believe soybeans.
Out north of Northfield in Castle Rock.
In Castle Rock
area. Okay, and I'm going to go from there to where did you live in Northfield? Where did you grow up?
I lived probably about two blocks away from the high school. I was north of the high school about two blocks.
North of the high school about two blocks.
Yep.
Okay, I'm thinking. What am I thinking? I'm thinking, I guess I don't know the streets there. What are the streets? I know, I think I know where you're talking about.
I was living off of Linden Street.
Linden?
Linden.
Okay.
Yep, near Woodley Street.
Oh, yeah. That's Linden's a popular street in town. There's a couple of Lindens.
And, there it is.
And by Water Street. Well, that's a... A hop, skip, and a jump from Casey's?
Yep, it is.
Yeah. Okay, so you grew up there. I remember a couple in town here had a jewelry shop called Stenstrom's Jewelry. You're way too young for that. And anyhow, they lived on Woodley and Jefferson Parkway, and between Jefferson Parkway and your street, Linden, I think, Spring, whatever.
Okay.
And they had a concrete house. And I thought, you drive by it all the time, I'm sure. But I remember when I first came to town, being invited there as a JC member for a meeting. And I thought, wow, if there's a tornado in town, I want to live in this building. They got a couple of them up by City Hall, too, that are concrete. And there's one on County Road 1 in Dundas and Railway Street. When you take a right to go out to the freeway, there's a big... concrete building, a house. Used to be a bicycle shop. Mike Livingston. Boy, things just pop into my mind. I can't remember, you know, what button to push on the board here, but I can remember stuff like that. So, being a young man, we're going to try to fill 2 hours of conversation.
Sure.
So, all of your answers have to be long and in-depth, if you will, please.
All right.
Tell me what grade school you went to. And I'm going to try to think that maybe you went to, you would have gone to Sibley?
I did go to Sibley.
Okay.
I did have fourth and fifth grade in Sibley.
Okay. How did you get there?
By bus.
Okay. And then after Sibley, middle school?
Yes.
The former?
Yep, the old middle school.
The old middle school, the White Center now?
Yep.
Or whip or white, however you say that. All right. What I like to do then is to talk about memories at that middle school and some of your teachers and some of the activities you participated in. Our guest this morning is Craig Swenson. At 20 minutes before 10 o'clock, he graduated from Northfield High School in 2003 and now is a physical...
Personal trainer.
Personal trainer at... 50 North. I wonder if that 50 North was used elsewhere, and this guy knew about it.
Well, we did do a little research, and we did find a place out east that has 50 North as one of their names. And then we also found a place, I believe it was in New Jersey, that is actually a restaurant that is 50 North. So there is another... There is another senior center that is 50 North, but they don't spell it out like we do. We spell it out F-I-F-T-Y North. They have it 50 North.
Do you have an arrow then on the logo? I can't remember the logo exactly.
Yes. Yep. Our logo does have the directional pieces to it, and then there's an arrow going directly straight up.
All right. So tell me about junior high school. Who were your teachers? Who do you remember? What did you do in junior high or middle school?
I remember in junior high, I had multiple different teachers during that time frame, and I actually got a part of the Northfield Raider football team at that time. I had been contacted by Bubba Sullivan, head coach of Northfield Raiders football team, and he was requesting or asking if I would be interested in being a manager for the football team.
Okay.
So I started at, I think it was sixth grade, I started becoming a manager for the Northfield football team.
You got to hang around seniors?
I did.
In the sixth grade?
I did.
Wow, that's pretty cool. And how long did you hold that job?
I did that all the way through my senior year.
Well, by the time you were a senior, I guess all the other players were looking up to you because you've been there, done that. So what is the job of a manager for a football team, and how many hold that position?
Well, during that time, I believe we had three or four individuals. It's pretty much helping out the coaches, helping out during the games, and the fact that getting everything set up for the game, getting things ready for the game. If equipment got broken during the game, we were there to help fix it, and help anything that the coaches may need, or if there was athletic trainers that needed some assistance on anything, we were there to help with that. We also made sure that we were kind of the water boys also, so we wanted to make sure that we had the water ready and had it ready for the individuals.
You had to keep them hydrated.
Exactly.
So there were three of you.
Yep.
So in my little short term as a football player, there were guys, and they handed out the towels and picked up the towels.
Yep.
Well, actually, you're supposed to throw them in the laundry basket, but a lot of guys didn't. So I suppose, is that the way it is when you were a manager of a football team? Some would, some wouldn't?
That's true.
All right. Did they ever tease you at all? I know I got teased, or we used to tease, and just tease the young men that would volunteer or help.
In actuality, I had great respect with all the individuals that I worked with. That was during the years that I was there. They were wonderful people to work with, wonderful players, and got along with them great. I thought every one of them was a wonderful person.
Every one of them. Are you going to run for election this fall?
Am I going to?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Well, everybody's wonderful. Okay, here's a fun part. It's 16 minutes before 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Name some, I know this is going to be hard, but you're going to leave somebody out, but name some of the players and comments about individuals, you know, quarterbacks, defensive linemen, or whatever. Just some guys you played with, people listening to the radio say, oh, wow, he mentioned my name, or he didn't mention my name, but my grandson or my son. Who are some of the players now? I know you got 6 years of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Quite a few of them come to mind. One of the individuals that still has a great place in my heart, Adam Hackfeld, is one of the individuals. He was one of those guys that always knew how to bring a smile to your face, always knew how to have a great time, turn negative into positive. And he just was wonderful to be around. He always made me feel part of the team. Another individual was Mark Sederstrom. I believe after high school, he actually went off to the Minnesota Gophers. Yep. And from there went off to play into professional. And it was quite neat to see him progress and see him go into professional.
I
got to
tell you something about Mark. When I was, I think it was Maturi that took me on a tour of the Gopher Stadium, TCF, and the locker room was just gorgeous. I mean, beautiful. And Mark's picture and number was up on the wall. I just thought, did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite an honor because they have pictures of various individuals all the way around. And then offensive linemen were in one area, and the defensive. And you go, hey, there were a couple of guys from Northfield.
Really?
Yeah. Can't remember the other guys. So, anyhow, I do remember Mark, a nice guy.
Great guy.
Been on the show here a couple of, not mine, but been on KYMN Radio. So, okay, keep going.
Well, I'd also have to say, a big thing with the coaches also during that time frame was Bubba Sullivan. I think he is one of the most amazing people I've ever met. Mike Allen, Mark Waitala, Sola, all those guys. I mean, they were wonderful individuals to work with, wonderful to be around. I thought each one of them were the best coaches that any team could have.
Well, spending 6 years doing that from middle school all the way up to your senior year, did you ever think of trying out for the team and playing?
I always would love to, but with having my birth defect, unfortunately, that always was a damper of not wanting to go a little further into football. Football was always something I always wanted to try, but when talking with the doctors and so forth, that just the slight little movement or a hit in a certain area could actually do more damage to me. So
What is your damage, if I may ask?
Well, I was born with club feet and then also spina bifida, which is a hole in the spine, is what I was born with. And then in 2000, I had a traumatic brain injury, which kind of knocked a lot of my memory out during that time frame.
In 2000?
In 2000.
Okay, you were a sophomore or a freshman right around there.
I believe so.
Yeah. When you mentioned club feet, mm-hmm. First time I ever heard that name was when I was probably, in the sixth grade or something like that. And is that where you straighten the feet out and then put a stick or whatever I should say and separate the legs and then so that you can't move them?
It's actually where the individual is born with the feet either angled out or angled inward.
Okay.
And depending upon the procedures of what the doctor wants to do, some doctors will actually cast the feet in a certain position, let it sit for a certain period of time frame, then recast it at a different angle until the feet are completely straight. In my case, they actually cut the tendons, fused the bones, and then put me in cast for, I believe it was 6 months I was in cast.
And how old were you when that happened?
I was still a baby at that time frame.
So you don't remember that?
I don't remember that one bit, okay. But my mother always said that I never was really fussy or anything like that, but when I had the cast on, if I ever needed anything or if I ever wanted anything, the nurses or my mother would always hear the clanking of the casts, and sure enough, I'd be putting the cast way over my head and clanking them together and saying, hey, I need something.
Cool. So when did you become aware of this situation? When could you walk once the casting was done?
Well, I was a little delayed with walking. I believe I started walking when I was about 6 years old, and that was due to the help of there was early childhood here in Northfield and the physical therapist I was working with here in Northfield. And due to them, that they helped out quite miraculously. I believe there was a woman at the Northfield schools named Dawn that would help me out with walking up and down the hallways with a pole walker. It was a pole behind walker that I used to walk with. That's what I started with, was a pole behind walker.
Yep,
you have a walker that attached on the sides, and then it goes around behind you. Instead of pushing it, you're pulling the walker. So then it's got wheels on all four sides.
Oh, I've never seen one of those.
Yeah.
By the way, do you mind talking about this?
Not one bit.
Okay, I want people listening to know, because today, nowadays everybody's got to be politically correct. And it's, what are you talking about?
I understand.
Okay. It's an education for me and our listeners. Yeah. It's 9 minutes before 10 o'clock on KYMN Radio. We'll be right back. Our guest this morning is Craig Swenson.
Are you tired of that icky old shower, crumbling old tile, or outdated bathtub? Rebath can help in as little as one day. Rebath is locally owned and would be glad to meet with you for a free estimate. Call us today at 1-800-BATHTUB to turn that old bathroom into new.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. Make an appointment today with Drs. David Brust, David Buck, Bo Stanley, or Michael Thompson. New patients and emergencies welcome 5 days a week at Heritage Dental Care.
I usually use bumper music, we call it, of the year a person graduated from high school to see if that helps a memory. Except you graduated in 2003, and I don't trust the music after 1990.
Good idea.
Yeah, I just don't trust him. So, anyhow, we're talking to a young man by the name of Craig Swenson. His mom is Nancy, and his dad is Alan Swenson. And his dad's retired from the railroad and has helping his brother Don out in Castle Rock with the farm. And they live in Northfield. Craig has a brother that's 3 years older. And we're talking about his role as a manager on Bubba Sullivan's football teams. And there were some great successes that Bubba had. And I was asking you to mention people, and you mentioned a couple of players, and you also mentioned a couple of coaches. While we took that break, did you think of any other individuals that you say, oh, yeah, I remember he was a quarterback or he was a linebacker or he made a great interception or whatever?
Well, if I can think of it, there was a family, the Faust family, and I apologize, I don't remember the names of them, but I remember they were quite some great players coming from the Faust. I remember I graduated with a Travis Faust, and again, just like all the other ones that I had stated before, wonderful individual, wonderful person, just a great attitude and a great person to be around.
How about quarterback? What quarterback do you remember right off the top of your head?
Oh, gosh. I don't think I remember any quarterbacks, unfortunately.
Well, how about a linebacker?
Well, we've got we had the Sederstroms. There was a few Swensons also. I believe Ryan Swenson was there. Great quarterback, or great lineman.
Was he a relative?
He was. He was my cousin.
Your cousin?
Is okay. My cousin.
All right. Yeah, of course. So I also ask athletes, no matter what level they played, whatever game they played, what is the one play they'll never, ever forget? And to a man and woman, they all have one. And it may seem like such a little thing, but they never had been asked something like that before. And everybody always remembers one play or one game and something exciting. And what would yours be?
Well, Bubba was always wonderful as having different types of plays that he would have in his back pocket. A lot of those plays I was just amazed at actually seeing, and I believe one year there was one of the plays where the quarterback stepped back and the running back came back to grab the ball, and everybody thought the running back was going to actually run it. Well, sure enough, the running back actually stepped back further, and the quarterback actually went downfield and actually caught the ball from the running back. So I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, those are the pros try that every once in a while, and it's fun to see. I like to see it when quarterbacks throw a pass and it's bounced in the air and they catch it.
Yep.
You know, the pass thrown by and it's received by, and that's always fun and exciting. So when you were a baby, you used to clap your casts together.
Yep.
To let them know you wanted something to eat or get changed or whatever. Yep. You don't remember that a whole lot, but you were told that. So now and by the way, folks, Craig Swenson is a personal personal trainer at 50 North. So when did you realize that that you were different in regards to the fact that you had this older brother, Chad, that was running around, jumping around? Is there a point in your life that you say, oh, I'm a little bit different?
I did realize that when I was a little younger, when my brother would go out with his friends and ride his bicycle and so forth. And at that time, I'm still riding my bicycle with training wheels and so forth. And that, due to the fact that I didn't have strong legs or strong abductor muscles to keep myself stabilized on the bicycle, was kind of, I wonder how he's able to do it and I'm not able to do it. And it kind of gives you a realization of, I'm a little different.
Was it, obviously you're a successful man, but was it difficult to overcome that, especially in the school summertime, no school, and your brother Chad takes off with people, maybe goes to a swimming pool or whatever. When were you able to, I imagine not very often, tag along with Chad because, the age difference. But when you were able to enjoy what facilities you could use?
Well, growing up, I had a lot of surgeries. So there wasn't a lot of time that I had those opportunities and so forth. I would say up until maybe my teens when I started getting in with more friends and so forth that I started feeling a little bit more connected with other individuals.
You say you had a lot of surgeries.
Yes.
I would assume that would be at a special place like Gillette or University of Minnesota, or how'd that work?
Exactly. I believe we started at the University of Minnesota. We also went to Gillette Children's and then Minneapolis Children's. Minneapolis Children's and Gillette Children's were the two main locations that I had a good majority of my surgeries.
Was that near Lake Phelan in St. Paul, Gillette?
Yes.
Yeah, that's my old beating grounds. We used to go visit people there, just as teenagers. We're on the way to the lake.
Yep.
Hey, let's just stop in. And they liked it. We'd talk to people and all that.
Great facility.
Also, one of the Raiders had a daughter that was there. And we all got dressed up in our Raider outfits and went and visited.
Wonderful.
And brought joy to a lot of people. It's just amazing how joyful it can be for individuals to get these visits from. And did you ever have any big baseball stars or football stars stop by?
I had quite some times. I had some neat people come in. I remember we had the Timberwolves back in the early 90s, some tall guys. I mean, they had a hard time even getting through the doors. They had to duck underneath and get in through the doors. It was quite fun to actually meet those guys. And then one time back in the 90s, I got to meet a famous running back for the Vikings, Robert Smith.
Oh, highly intelligent individual.
Extremely. Yeah. And it was actually the same day that they had a football game against the Green Bay Packers here in Minnesota. So it was kind of neat to...
The same day?
The same day he came and visited kids at the hospital.
Before the game?
Before the game. I thought that was pretty neat.
We'll talk about it after the news, all right? I kind of want to know how the reception is in regards to the patients and the staff. Yep. When people like that come bouncing through.
Okay.
We'll be back right after the news on KYMN 1080 AM and now 95.1 FM. Hey, we're the one.
Investigation milestone. Giuliani calls for a wrap-up. I'm John Trout. Today marks the one-year anniversary of the day Special Counsel Mueller was appointed to lead the Russia investigation. President Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, says he'll keep pushing for an end to the investigation and revealed on Fox News a discussion he had with Robert Mueller.
I asked him specifically if they realized or acknowledged they didn't have the power to indict, both under the Justice Department memo, which gives them their power, in essence confines their power, mm-hmm. and under the Constitution. And he said, well, he wouldn't answer. And one of his assistants said they acknowledged they had to be bound by Justice Department policies. And then the next day or the day after, they clarified it for Jay Sekulow, who was with me at the meeting, that they didn't have the power to indict. that what they would eventually do is write a memorandum and give it to the Deputy Attorney General.
Mueller's office has charged 19 people in the probe, including four Trump campaign advisors and three Russian companies. Sir Kim Darroch is British ambassador to the U.S.
I think it's simply wonderful that Prince Harry, who is a hugely popular figure both here and in the U.K., is marrying an American.
Meghan Markle confirms her father won't be attending the royal wedding Saturday. Thomas Markle is said to be having surgery following a recent heart attack. Forecast continued rains into the weekend along the East Coast threaten muddy conditions for ball games, backyard barbecues, and horse racing.
Heavy rain later on this afternoon and all day tomorrow. That includes Baltimore for the Preakness as well. Very wet stuff there. Could be 4 to 6 inches of rain, especially south of there. D.C., you get to somewhere in the 80s, though, later on in the week.
Meteorologist Chad Myers. New numbers from the Labor Department show weekly jobless claims up 11,000. I'm John Trout.
When I get older, losing my hair, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till quarter to three, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, the friend you can count on. The time is 10:02:52. And I don't know the temperature, but it's a nice, beautiful day once again. This is the second hour of the Wayne Eddy Affair on this Thursday, Setna Mai, May 17th, 2018. And my guest this morning is Northfield native Craig Svensson. And Craig is a personal trainer at 50 North. And we're talking about his being in the Northfield School District and growing up and going to Sibley and then to the middle school where the next to Central Park before it became the Witt Center, and then going to Northfield High School and holding down a job for 6 years as a manager for the Northfield Raiders football team led by Bubba Sullivan all these years. He still seems new to me. Isn't that crazy? And anyhow, we're talking about an affliction, if that's what I can call it, and it's quite complicated. You were born with a spine that wasn't 100%.
It had a little hole in it, and then the spine was, quote-unquote, malformed in the fact that it didn't actually form inside my body. It actually formed a little bit outside of my body,
oh.
So there was a sac that was on the outside of my body, and then they had to cut that sac off of all the nerve endings and all the fluid that was in it, cut that off, and then stretch the skin back over and staple it together. So I lost all those nerve endings that were supposed to be in me.
Wow. Is that what
spina bifida.
Spina bifida. Nerves growing outside of the bone structure.
Yep.
Wow. Holy cow, you're lucky you're doing what you're doing.
Exactly.
My goodness. Was there a lot of pain and suffering as a toddler? As a baby, of course, you don't remember it, but as a toddler, all these operations?
Well, there was, I believe when I was 16, we finally figured out after reading through everything, all the documentation and so forth, that I had probably about 100 and some surgeries at the age of 16. And
wow.
So there did come a lot of reconstruction. There did come a lot of changing things and improving things to, you know, help out with my quantity and quality of life. So,
does it affect the brain at all?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, it does.
Yep, it does affect the brain in the fact that some individuals with spinal bifida, I'll put it that way, some individuals do have the issue of where spinal fluid will go up into the brain and then not come back down and not disperse throughout the body. And that was in one of my cases, is I had hydrocephalus, which is where it's water on the brain. The spinal fluid got up into the brain and would stay in the brain. So I believe I was 3 years old when they put a little device into my brain called the shunt, which takes the fluid from one location of the body and brings it to another location of the body to disperse, and there's no longer any pressure in the brain. And so that can affect individuals.
Wow.
Some individuals can have some delayedness, some memory, cognitive issues due to the hydrocephalus.
What is that called? A shunt?
A shunt, yep.
Well, what do they call the things that I got in me? Putting stem? No, no. What? Anyhow, maybe it's the same thing. It's a, to, you know, to strengthen the arteries or okay. the whatever they are.
Some stents?
Stents, yeah. Stents. Yep. So is there a difference between a stent and a shunt?
Yep, the shunt is actually a tube that goes from one location to another location. The stent, depending upon the type of stent, some stents, from my understanding, is that they're kind of like a coil and they open up the artery for yeah. the individual.
Yeah, okay. Sounds like, sounds good.
Yep.
Okay. So, and by the way, folks, I did ask Craig if we can talk about this as an educational yeah. opportunity, and he's totally comfortable talking about this. And, and of course, I'm always intrigued by everything, it seems. So I have an interest in this because I've visited people about it. So with spina bifida. Speaking about visiting, you're going to talk about some of the people that visited the University of Minnesota, the Gillette Hospital in St. Paul, and the Children's Hospital in Minneapolis. You've been to all three of them.
Yep.
And these sports personalities, mostly, I would assume, will come around and give words of encouragement. You had Robert Smith come in on the day of a game against Green Bay in Minnesota. He came and visited your ward or room or whatever you call it before the game?
He did. He came in, I want to say it was probably about noontime that he came in to visit everybody on that level at Children's Hospital.
Wow. And did he try to spend time with each individual?
It looked like it when he went from room to room to
okay.
meet the individuals.
And then pictures taken?
Yep.
Okay. Autographs?
Yep.
Little football mementos?
I believe so.
Now, here's what I often wondered. When you get these visits from the Timberwolves, you mentioned, and from a Viking, an individual like that, do they usually have a PR group with them? And it's kind of a deal where they set it up, meet the kids, and then let's get going because we got to go to the next place. How does it feel? Is it a sincere thing that you felt?
With Robert, I felt it was very sincere. I mean, he took the time to sit there and actually talk with you, actually converse with you. He sat and asked how you were doing. Are you going to root for us today? Which kind of was a little hard for me due to the fact that I'm a Packer fan.
Uh-oh.
I did have to say to him that I would try to root for him for it, but it was really neat with Robert. Robert actually had a little bit more connection personally from my viewpoint with the individuals in the hospital. I mean, even when he went over to the individual across the way from me, he spent, I'd say, maybe 8 minutes with each individual.
Wow.
So it was really wonderful to actually have that time with a professional athlete.
Okay, so now let's go to the other ones, you know, they're taking their time, they're doing it. Did you ever feel like it was a, I gotta do this, or was everybody always real sincere?
I believe everybody was real sincere.
Okay.
Even with the Timberwolves, we all met, I believe we all met in a little play area. And they actually came in and they sat down with some of the kids and did some coloring. Some of them played some hoops with a few of them. So I thought it was wonderful.
Okay. So why are you a Packer backer?
Well, I do have a aunt and uncle that do live in Wisconsin. So I do have to state that maybe they had coerced me a little bit. But I have this feeling with Green Bay that they've got this great great team and great fan base, and I just thought that they were the cream of the crop ever since they've had Brett Favre.
I love Brett Favre. Where in Wisconsin do your aunt and uncle live?
They live in the in a suburb of Milwaukee.
Okay. And I my first radio job was in Wisconsin. Wow. And the Vikings were only like 3 years old at that time. And I, of course, couldn't believe the fanatic. I mean, I couldn't in Minnesota, the Vikings weren't that big of a deal yet. And I thought, wow, so, well, of course, I'm from Minnesota. I'm a Viking fan. And I ended up covering them for 25-plus years and getting to know a lot and enjoyed it very much. But when you mentioned Brett Favre, there's a man's man.
That is true.
I mean, you could have a bromance with that guy. And I just loved it when he came to Minnesota. But, oh, why did he throw that last pass?
Oh, heartbreaking.
And I've been through a lot of them. I've been to 4 Super Bowls with the Vikings.
Yep.
And and what do we have, 3 NFC championship games. Guy that never misses on a field goal misses. And why? Oh, man.
Was that Gary Anderson?
Yeah. And a couple years ago, it was I can't remember their names. But anyhow, you're a Packer backer.
I am.
Have you been to a Viking Packer game?
I have. I actually went to one here in Minnesota, and then a few years back, my aunt and uncle, who live in Wisconsin, knew an individual that had a season tickets for the Packers game at Lambeau Field, and they were gracious enough to get me season tickets, and so I took my uncle with me, and we went to Lambeau Field to...
Season tickets?
The season tickets. So we went to Lambeau Field for the one game against the Vikings. So we saw the Vikings against the Packers at Lambeau Field.
And?
That was amazing.
The Vikings must have won.
No.
Oh, the way I thought.
Unfortunately, that year was the year where I believe it was both games against the Vikings, the Minnesota Vikings against the Packers, that the Packers won in the last minute with a field goal. And that was the same thing with the game at Lambeau Field. They won in a matter of 10 seconds with a field goal at the end.
So the Viking game you went to was at the Metrodome, the old Metrodome?
Yep, the old Metrodome.
So which crowd do you think was more into the game?
The I would
Packers
say the,
or the Vikings?
I would say it would probably be mutual, but the Viking fans kind of outweighed the Packer fans. There was a lot more Viking fans at the Metrodome at that time.
Oh, of course. But what really shocks you is that, well, I used to be one of those scalpers. I mean, you could sell your Packer game tickets for the price of what you paid for the season.
That's true.
And so there were a lot of Packers at the Metrodome, a lot of them. And, of course, Lambeau Field, that's, you know, hallowed ground. And you sit on a bench. That must have been uncomfortable.
It actually, I was quite shocking. We actually went there, and I think it was about 10 degrees as we sat out in the cold. But you would not even notice that it was 10 degrees. With all those individuals packed into that stadium, it actually was pretty warm. It was pretty neat. Just even the atmosphere itself was just wonderful.
And the Packers won.
And the Packers won.
Okay, well, a great day.
Exactly.
Did you go overnight, or did you go... and come back?
My uncle and I, we drove over to Milwaukee, where my aunt and uncle live, and then my uncle and I drove up to Lambeau Field, and then after the game, we drove back.
So a big thrill.
Yes.
Big thrill. Okay. My guest this morning on KIM Radio is Craig Swenson, and Craig is a personal trainer at 50 North. It's 1015 on 1080 KYMN Radio out of Northfield, Minnesota. And my name is Wayne Eddy. I do this every day, Monday through Friday, get to know people. And right now I'm getting to know Craig Swenson. He was born and raised in Northfield, Minnesota, and he's the son of Nancy and Ellen. Svensson has a big brother named Chad. And what's Chad doing nowadays?
He actually is a construction worker. He's part of the union. So he, I believe right now, is working up in the cities, helping out with building different facilities up in the cities.
Okay. A construction worker. Get a nice tan.
Yes.
Amen. So you get into junior high school, and you've been through hell and back with over 100 operations. And does he did each operation improve your overall health each time, or were there failures?
I would say each one of them actually was pretty good. Each one of them did do improvements, helping out with leg structure, internal organs, and so forth. The only downfall every once in a while is that over the years, some of those surgeries that they may have done actually kind of worn out, and so they needed to be redone or have the latest and newest type of procedure done to correct that.
Now, when you talked about internal organs, who thinks of that when you have a back problem? And what happens to the body? What happened? And by the way, folks, once again, this line of questioning is okay with my guest, yep. And it's educational for all of us. But, you know, when you say spina
bifida,
you just think of the backbone.
Yep.
You don't think of anything else. But here you're saying there are other areas that can affect your body.
Almost definitely. Because it's affected by the spine, or the spine is affected by spina bifida actually means a hole in the spine. The spinal column holds all of the nerve endings that go out into the body, and those nerve endings are sent out into internal organs, to limbs, and so forth. And depending upon where in the spine that you're affected, that it could actually affect some of those internal organs.
You were talking kidneys and liver and the heart and
intestines and yep.
And so they keep an eye on the reaction to the nerves and whether they are not responding or they're over-responding or...
Yep. They did that quite when I was maybe about a year old. They did a lot of research of figuring out what is working, what's not working in the body. And
isn't that amazing?
It's very amazing.
I mean, do you think 100 years ago they would just say, well, okay, we'll have a funeral in a year or two or less?
Well, actually, the story that I was told from my father was, and that was back in 1984, is that once I was born, I was born C-section, and there were some complications with my mother. So, unfortunately, they had to do some stuff with my mother, and my father was brought into a room, and as he was brought into this room, here laid me on a gurney with nothing around me, nothing on me, no one touching me.
An infant.
I was just laying there crying, and the doctor's simple words were, well, we have two options. You can let your child lay here. He'll die within the next few hours. We'll make him comfortable if that's something that you want, or the U of M does know how to work with him, but do know that there's a good possibility that your child will never walk or have any mental capacity whatsoever. And my father at that moment said, are you kidding me? That's my child. Get him to the U of M now.
Wow. What a decision.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like it was hard. For some people, it'd be a really hard decision on what to do.
Exactly.
So for those of you that weren't listening earlier this morning, spina bifida is some of the nerves of the backbone actually grow in a sac outside of the body.
Yep.
Outside of the body. And, 100 years ago, they just, because they didn't have the skills.
Exactly.
But your dad made one heck of... I imagine you're a little happy about that.
Oh, extremely, extremely. I thank him every day for that.
We have to say, way to go, Alan. All right, good decision. Of course, mom's okay after,
yes.
You know, she survived okay.
Yeah.
So now you're growing up, as I say, with that. You have all these operations. You're spending a lot of time in Gillette and Minneapolis Children's and the University of Minnesota. Did you ever... just say, oh, God, here I go again, or, hey, I get to see my doctors again?
There was quite some few times that was, you got to be kidding me, I just had one last month. Now I've got to have another one this month. Okay, here we go again. Pack our bags and off to the hospital we go, and is this actually going to be the last one, or is this going to be the start of a whole new set of surgeries.
No, when you think surgeries, sometimes you think about, you know, scalpel slicing you open and all that stuff you see on television or whatever. But I had some neck surgery, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking, oh, God, they're going to cut me open and all that. And it turns out that they have these tiny little tools, and they got their cameras, and they have their x-rays, and they know exactly where they're going to do and what they're going to do to it. So I have no scar. I mean,
wonderful.
I mean, just now, in your growing up, did you go from where they had a slice you open to where they can use a little... whatever procedures.
Well, I did notice that as I was growing older, how the medical advancements have really, really improved over the years. Recently, I think it was about 5 years ago, was my last surgery was for my knee, and it amazed me that they didn't cut the knee open whatsoever. I had two little holes, and I was up and walking within a matter of days. I mean, it was quite amazing. You know, when I was younger, they'd be opening up the whole entire knee and stitching it all back together, and it'd be maybe 2 or 3 weeks before you're back walking on that leg.
No, why did you have to have knee surgery? Is it the same as everybody?
Well, I, unfortunately, with my spina bifida, my knees move a different way than other individuals, and at my age of 34, I wore away my meniscus and my ACL on my one knee, and so they had to go in there and repair both of them. So they actually went in with scopes and was able to easily repair it. I believe it was just an hour surgery, and on my way I was going.
No, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because we were talking about the Vikings and Packers and all. I remember the slicing up they did on some of the ball players' knees and the amount of recovery time. And I would watch these guys work out, and really to get back in the game.
Yep.
And it's just nowadays, well, there's ones like Bridgewater's, which was totally crazy, whatever that was about. And then, of course, you know, we had Adrian Peterson, which was totally crazy the other way.
Exactly.
So did you have to do a whole lot of being a personal
personal trainer.
I should write that down. Being a personal trainer, did you get any assistance or accept any assistance, or did you know it all?
Well, I did. As a personal trainer, I always am intrigued with the physical therapists to help me out with learning a little bit more. They are the top notch of learning and knowing the limbs and how the body works. And so I always, you know, recommend individuals, if you're going to have a surgery done and so forth, always consult with your physician and also a physical therapist. And I did do some physical therapy, and I did everything that the physical therapist asked, and also the occupational therapist and the physician himself, you know, warranted me to do. And like I tell people, as long as they're telling you to do that, continue to do it, and it's going to help with that leg and help with whatever you're actually having done. And it's actually maybe even improve it over the years. And that was one thing, is before the surgery, was I was glad that I'm active. I stayed active because it helped out with the recovery of the knee.
Do you ever work with people with rotator cuff problems?
Oh, most definitely, yes.
That's a painful deal.
That is. That is.
And when you got out of Northfield High School in the class of 2003, do you remember where your ceremony was held?
I believe it was at the old Memorial Field.
All right. Did you get to speak?
No.
Okay. Did you throw your hat in the air?
I threw my hat in the air, yes.
All right. Or what are they called, mortar boards or something? So you graduated in 2003. You're 34 years old, so that's about 18 years, whatever it was, 16 years ago. What did you know as a senior in high school in regards to your future, and when do you feel that you reached being able to cope with and reach the apex of improvement in your walking and standing? When did you feel like, I'm done with all this?
Well, that actually happened when I was probably in my early teens, is that I started strengthening the legs a lot more, and I started working with a little bit more of ankle-foot orthotics braces from the lower limbs and started working with those. There's always improvements that I could be doing. There's always things I could be doing to strengthening the legs and so forth, and which I continue to try to do with that. And as I grow older, that's one thing, is kind of look at what can I do to help myself, to keep myself mobile. We do know that over the years, it's just common sense that my knees will eventually start to crumble, my hips will eventually start to crumble, which I have started to notice myself personally. And that's why every once in a while, if you do go to 50 North, you will see me in a wheelchair every once in a while.
Oh.
It's due to the fact that that day has probably been just a long day. Mm-hmm. I've been on my knees and need to sit down for a while, so I use my wheelchair to scoot around.
Do you think being a personal trainer is beneficial to you because of that, your position and what you have to do with others that you may do along with them?
I think it helps me out immensely. Helps me personally in the fact of now I know what I should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing to help myself personally. And then also helping me in the fact that when a doctor is talking in their logical sense of, you know, anatomy and physiology, I can actually understand them, what they're talking about this time. And I think also being a personal trainer with having different ailments, it also gives me a sense of understanding with other individuals, you know, if they're coming off of a knee rehab or a hip rehab, I kind of understand where they're coming from, where the pain, and they don't want to do this, they want to do this, why should they do this, why shouldn't they do that?
Is that called empathy? Well, why don't we take a break and come back, and our guest this morning is 2003 graduate of Northfield High School, Craig Swenson. He is now a personal trainer at 50 North, which is located over on Jefferson Parkway between 246 and Jefferson Road.
Southern Minnesota women are embracing adventure, and Girlfriends Magazine tells their stories in their May issue, available now at locations all around Northfield. Girlfriends Magazine has been inspiring, entertaining, and educating women in our region for nearly 10 years. Pick up your copy of their May adventure issue today. To find a location near you, visit online at southernmingirlfriends.com. That's southernmingirlfriends.com. Girlfriends Magazine, where local women turn.
The Craig Keller Insurance Agency would like to take this time to salute this year's graduating seniors. Craig hopes you find the future bright and exciting as you move into the next stage of your lives. Good luck, graduates, from the Craig Keller Insurance Agency in Nearstrand.
I'm carrying on a conversation with our guest, Craig Swenson, and maybe I should ask this on the air because it kind of makes my eyes water. We were just chit-chatting here, and I have scar tissue from a rotator cuff and a scar tissue from this and that, and I was wondering if you had any scar tissue from your spinal bifida operation, which entailed a bubble that was growing outside of your body by the backbone or whatever you say, and all the nerves that were inside of that. And as a baby, they had to remove that.
Yep.
It was growing outside of your body as opposed to, like me and most everybody else, inside. And, of course, you were a baby. But do you have a scar from that?
I do have a huge scar from that area. It's in the lower part of my spine. And like I said, they had to actually completely take that bubble off and then stretch the skin over and staple the skin together. So there's no longer any of those nerve endings. They had to take those nerve endings completely off and...
You wonder what nerves were they?
Yep, that's exactly it. And that's, from what I'm understanding is each spine or each spinal column has, or different vertebrae has a connection to the part of the body that sends certain nerves to different parts. And in that area, that's where, the legs and the feet and so forth were. And so a lot of my sensation has been lost in the feet and lower limbs and internal organs.
But I would would I be correct in assuming that your brain trained parts of your body to function?
Yep.
Because the brain is so unbelievable.
The brain is quite amazing, and the body, how it works together and being able to understand how to, you know, mold itself or to change things so that the individual can continue on what they're wanting to do. It's quite amazing. I mean, a lot of people always ask me, how are you able to walk without any feelings? Well, how are you able to walk with feeling?
Yeah.
It's something that my brain and my body trained me.
Well, there was some TV lady, I think a sportscaster, that had no feelings in her legs, and she was on Dancing with the Stars.
Yep.
And that thought came, well, how can you be dancing when you have no feelings? But I had a little bit of an experience in regards to the brain. And when you first have an amputation, the brain still thinks everything's there. It does things automatically that shouldn't. Anyhow, you have to learn to control it. And it isn't like you're studying a book and saying, I'm learning how to do this. It just takes time to function. Like when you lie down, the leg didn't know whether you want to be up or whether you want to be down, and it would just shake up. And did you have that too?
I've had a few episodes like that with my legs and with my arms and so forth. And I had a grandmother growing up also when she was in her 70s, I believe, she had an amputation, and she always talked about that her foot itched or her foot ached.
Yep.
And
we'd
look down and go, Grandma, there's no foot there.
Yeah. Now that we're talking about it, I can feel mine.
Yep.
I mean, before you ignore it, but right now I'm going, oh, yeah, there's the ankle, and I'm wiggling my toes.
Yep.
Because all those things are wired down to where you're at. 1032 on 1080 radio. So as a kid going through high school, you were able to work with the football team. Did you get involved in music or speech or in theater or anything?
I didn't get involved in any of that, but I did get involved, I believe it was when I was 16 or maybe a little younger, I did get involved with Courage Center, which is now called Courage Kenny. And they had wonderful adaptive sports that I was able to get a part of, or be a part of, which was wheelchair racing was what I started with, and then field events, and transitioned and tried my hand at archery and swimming and downhill skiing. And I still, to this day, do downhill skiing and water skiing whenever I'm able to get out.
Good for you. Is one leg stronger than another?
There is one leg that is stronger than the other. My right leg is usually stronger than my left leg.
So do you slalom on that?
I try to. I try to compensate.
Me too. this Camp Courage thing, that must were you a counselor there or a participant?
I was a participant. My aunt and uncle from Wisconsin, they helped me actually go to Camp Courage a few times. And then as I grew older, I then took a part with their services in the sports part.
Well, you probably don't remember this. It was a long time ago, and I don't expect you to, but they had a covered wagon trail to Camp Courage. And it may have come from Rochester, I think. And it was a covered wagon and horses.
Wow.
And the James gang, I used to be a rider with the gang, we met them in, I think, Denison or Kenyon, and came in with Camp Courage, and then we put them up at Northfield Ballroom. Mm-hmm. And did a fundraising for Camp Courage. And Herman Transberg was involved with that because his daughter had a situation where she was at Children's Hospital. So little things that we're connecting on here.
Yeah.
Okay. Once again, if you just tuned in, I'd like to say tune in earlier. Craig Swenson is my guest on KYMN Radio, class of 2003. All right, so you got involved in those things. Chad is off to college or off to work or out of the house when you graduate high school? Or
yes.
Still? Okay, so you're the only one, which is kind of nice. But you got to do something with your life. So now you are graduated in 2003. Now what?
From right then there, due to my brain injury in 2000, I had used sign language to help me communicate with individuals. So I wanted to actually become a sign language interpreter. And so we went to one of the local colleges up in the cities, and we applied for actually becoming a sign language interpreter. And at that time, they had us fill out all the forms, and that's when they found out that I had a brain injury back in 2000. And they said, well, you can take our classes. We'll allow you to take all our classes, but we won't give you any grades. We won't have you graduate because we believe those with brain injuries don't go far in life.
What happened in 2000, a brain injury? You touched on that, but remind me.
In 2000, I was unfortunately hit in the head with a football, and the shunt, which is in my brain, was dislodged, and it caused some damage in the brain due to that.
So do you remember it?
I don't remember any of it at all.
How much time expired between getting hit with the ball and you're saying, hey, what happened?
I would say maybe 5 days later.
Wow. Were you in danger?
I mean,
your brain was functioning so you could breathe and all
yep,
that?
Yep, everything was working fine. Okay. It was just after I came out of the surgery from replacing the shunt, they knew that the shunt wasn't working at that time. And when I came out of the surgery, that's when I thought,
what next?
What in the world just happened? Why am I in the hospital? Why is my mom here? Why is my grandmother here?
Wow, what a stressful thing for mom and dad and grandma,
yes,
aunt and uncle.
Yep.
You got a good aunt and uncle.
Oh, extremely.
Over there in Wisconsin. 23 minutes before 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio out of Northfield, Minnesota, the home of cows, colleges, and controversy. I heard that on the air the other day, somebody say that. Maybe it was the, I better not give anybody credit for it because maybe I'd be wrong. So, anyhow, now it's 2003. You got to get going. You want to become independent as much as you can. They won't allow you to get certified in sign language because you have that brain injury.
Yep.
So what did you do?
So we went to, after that, we went to Dakota County Technical College. We found that Dakota County Technical College had a program in the fact that I could get a certificate in sign language interpreting. And as I went in to meet with them, they stated that in order to get the certificate or take any of the classes, you need to pick a major. And I thought, well, let's just pick sports. I did sports for many years. Let's go with that. I'll get the certificate and I'll be out of here. I sat down with an amazing gentleman, the gentleman that towered probably three times the size of me, way over my head, shoulders broader than a door, came through and shook my hand, and we sat down and we started talking, and his name was Jed Smith, and he was the head honcho for the sports department of Dakota County Technical College at that time. And he started talking to me about sports and talking to me about exercise and so forth, and then he started asking me to do this type of exercise, do that type of exercise, and how would I coach a person to do this? And that's when he looked at me and said, you know what? I think you have a knack for this. I think you have something that other individuals don't. You have a way of modifying this exercise and modifying these things to suit you and other individuals, and you can actually explain it even better than myself, and I've been in this industry for 20 plus years. He said, try my program, try it out and see how it goes. First day of school for exercise sports science, I met with the sports psychologist, and the sports psychologist was actually the sports psychologist for the Minnesota Twins, Minnesota Vikings, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I fell in love. I said, you know what, this is probably my career, this is my path, this is what I need to be on. And from there I went on and had multiple degrees in exercise physiology and exercise science, and haven't looked back one bit.
Did you intern in Northfield?
I did work with Dakota County Technical College for a few months, and then I did do some interning here in Northfield, and then I started out, actually my first fitness job was actually working with the Northfield YMCA when the YMCA was just starting up and had a satellite location over at the Northfield Retirement Center. So blessings to the Northfield YMCA for getting me started into the fitness industry.
Isn't school fun when you like it?
Oh, extremely. And it really gets you intrigued and really learning when you have fun atmosphere and fun instructors, and they know how to teach it.
All right. It's 19 minutes before 11 o'clock on KYMN Radio. We're going to come back and continue our conversation with a gentleman by the name of Craig Swenson, class of 2003.
Your vehicle's engine warning light could mean something as simple as a loose gas cap or something serious and potentially expensive if you don't address it right away. Have our professional technicians at Witt Brothers Service diagnose and fix the problem as part of your overall preventative maintenance program. It could save you from costly problems down the road. Stop by Witt Brothers Service at 701 Division Street in downtown Northfield for all of your automotive maintenance and repair needs.
Three Links Auxiliary and Greenvale Park Elementary PTO will be co-hosting a fundraising rummage sale on Friday, May 18th, 8 to 5, and Saturday, the 19th, 8 to 2. It's located at our lodge on the corner of Oddfellows Lane and Highway 19 across from Post Brands. In the main room, everything is just a dollar. The treasure room will have special prices. We'll be serving walking tacos and treats. You'll find clothing, houseware, decor, books, puzzles, bed, bath, collectibles, a variety of perennials, and much more.
We're back live and in color from our studios in beautiful downtown Northfield, Minnesota, right across the street from the library on the west side of Division at 2nd Street. How's it going for you to manipulate yourself around Northfield, Minnesota? We have some road work being done, and I have to tell you, it's no big deal. If you were here way back when, they tore up Water Street from 2nd all the way up to 7th, then you know what it's like to have impairment when it comes to traffic control. Speaking about traffic and street, and speaking about control, do you have a driver's license?
I do have a driver's
license. Why don't I turn your mic on? Pardon me?
I do have a driver's license, yes.
And was there anything special you had to go through to get a driver's license because of your physical and then the brain damage?
Yep. We actually went up to Courage Center again, also known as Courage Kenny. And I had an evaluation done up there of my capability of either driving with foot pedals or with hand controls. And at that time, I had been just taught how to drive a car with one foot on the gas, one foot on the brake. And as we were up there driving around, and the instructor says to me, "Now I want you to stop." And I go to push my foot down. He says, "Can you push down?" I said, "I'm pushing." And here he found out, "Well, your foot is underneath the gas pedal, or underneath the brake pedal. Did you know that your foot slipped off?" And I said, "Nope, I didn't." And that's when he said, "You know what? Hand controls are going to be much better for you." So sure enough, we pulled off to the side of the road, put the hand controls onto the vehicle, and I've been driving with hand controls ever since.
Is that expensive?
It depends upon the vehicle and depending upon the type of hand control that you need. I've been lucky enough to win with the hand controls is that I go and talk with the manufacturer, talk with the car company, and a lot of the car companies will help out with getting those hand controls put on for you.
What about driving before that guy told you? Did you drive before you went up and got the guy who said, "Hey, your foot's underneath the brake"?
Just in open, vacant parking lots. That's the only time I ever did.
So you can't feel your foot?
Nope. Can't feel anything.
Well, I know what that's about,
yep.
And you have to be cognizant of what you're doing. And I learned and found out that when you have toes, you just bend your foot and gas, but when you have none, you have to push forward, and it's a little bit different technique.
But, it is.
But I learned how to do that and do it without even thought anymore. But I always test, if I drive a different car, I always test the brakes and test the accelerator just to see where my foot lines up with them.
Exactly.
You know, so I play it safe.
Yeah. Might be a little bit more touchy.
Yeah. 15 minutes before 11 o'clock on KYMN Radio. So how long did you have to go, not have to, how long did you go to Dakota Tech?
Well, I went there for 3 years for my first degree, and then I went back there and I actually got two more degrees through Dakota County Technical College. So I'd say maybe an altogether 9-10 years.
Let's talk about degrees, okay? Mm-hmm. There are people that poo-poo Normandale and Dakota County and Hennepin County and others, you know, like, huh, you didn't go to the university or you didn't go to a private college, and you're talking about a degree. So how does that fit with you? How does that, what do you think?
Personally, I think it all depends upon the individual of what they got out of the degree and how they're able to use the knowledge that they were gained through the college experience, and then how they're able to then transition that into their workforce. There's a lot of trades schools out there that are hands-on, and you know what? Those are people that are doing some amazing things out there, and it may not be a well-known name college that they went to, but you know what? I think they're doing a fantastic job compared to a well-known named college. And so I think it really depends upon what you get out of the college and what you're going to put in after college.
Well said. I know that there are people that will say, you're talking about a degree. I got a degree in psychology or whatever. Now, you get degrees and certification?
Yes.
Okay, what would the, you know, say again what your degrees are?
I've got degrees in exercise physiology, exercise sports science, and exercise science.
Okay, and that's not a simple thing. I mean, you really are learning how to do things. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, you know, you hear about football and basketball players in college taking sports.
Yep.
You know, it's just a nothing class so they can get out and play football. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And some don't, of course. So what's the certification that you have?
Well, the certifications, I've got multiple different certifications.
Okay.
And those certifications actually help me out in learning a little bit more in-depth of working with certain individuals. For example, the exclusive trainer, it goes in-depth of working with individuals of that have had a stroke, heart issues, pulmonary issues, maybe have some nervous system issues, and it helps me understanding of how to work with those individuals, and it helped me figure out different ways to work with those individuals. Then there's also types of classes. If you want to ever be a group exercise instructor, you have to get those certifications for those classes. For example, Silver Sneakers is one of them. There is personal training, which will give you a wide spectrum of the anatomy and physiology, how to work with a person one-on-one in a group setting, figuring out what their goals are, how to get them to accomplish those goals, and making sure that they're doing it safely and effective at the same time frame for it. So I've got, you know, certifications that are wide spectrum,
including CPR and stuff.
Yep,
like that.
CPR also, thanks to TJ Henry.
TJ, I just saw him Tuesday night. We both rode our motorcycles to a defeated Jesse James Day meeting.
All right.
Yeah, he's quite the character.
He's an amazing guy.
Yeah. So you got all these, you have certification in various areas, you have degrees in various areas. How did you luck out to get a job in Northfield? Or did you go someplace else first?
Actually, when I first got my first degree from Dakota County Technical College, I did exactly what pretty much probably every other college student does, is started filling out applications, started giving out my name to all different fitness facilities and different places. I was actually even doing facilities all the way out in Washington and different places. Didn't hear back from anybody whatsoever, and so at that time I thought, well, did I really do the right thing? And so I went back to college, and at that time, when I went back to college for the second time, I went back and I got an accounting degree. And at the time that I was going through getting my accounting degree, the Northfield YMCA had a little article or a little advertisement in the newspaper looking for wellness staff. And I thought, you know what, that'd be great to do that while going to college at the same time frame. And that's where it opened up the door for me in the fitness industry, is working with the YMCA.
Well, what did you do with the accounting education?
The accounting degree, I did do a few side things with the accounting degree. I worked with a few individuals with that. I also worked with other organizations with the accounting degree with straighten out their books and so forth. Didn't really get into the tax part of it due to the fact that taxes change so frequently. But
that's good for the people that are in that industry.
Exactly.
They don't want it to change. They don't want that 10% period. Amen. Done. I made $1,000. Here's your 100. See you later.
Yep.
They don't want that. It's already 9 minutes before 11 o'clock, and my guest this morning, once again, is Craig Swenson. And you applied all the way out to Washington. What would you have done if Washington would have said, come on, or whatever?
I might have gone out there. I specifically actually went out, applied out to Washington. My parents probably don't even know it, but I did apply out to Washington at one of the universities out there. Due to the fact that when I was back in my days of being in wheelchair racing and so forth, we were out in Bellevue, Washington, and I just fell in love with Washington. I thought that was the most gorgeous state.
You were there on a good day, huh?
I was.
So you competed in, what do they call it, handicapped, or what is a proper way of referring to sports competition among individuals that aren't, you know what I'm trying to get
sure.
at?
Well, during the time frame when I was part of it, it was junior disabled games.
Disabled.
Yep.
Okay.
And now, as I'm older, there is the Paralympics. We have the Paralympics, which was just, I believe, last year, which coincides with the normal Olympics, and that is for individuals with physical issues.
Okay. That sounds like a plan. Now, when I first met you, I didn't know you, had no idea who you were. What an interesting situation that you've encountered. And I did notice a slight limp.
Yep.
And to me, I'm thinking, well, he's one half the small, lower than the other, the way I looked at it. Is there stretching or shortening of legs under the condition that you were born?
I believe there is one leg that is a little bit slight shorter than the other leg, but a lot of it has to do with the ligaments, the tendons, and the muscles, yeah. How they're working together and how they're not working together in different areas.
Okay. And I notice things like that. And I'm sure you notice things like that. You just do. It's just like when you get a car. And then all of a sudden you can look around and say, holy cow, I didn't realize how many, Buicks were on the road.
Exactly.
Especially in that color. One final break. We'll be back and do a wrap here on the Wayne Eddy Affair.
The Saints have the best customer service in town, right?
Best Eddy is amazing.
I got an idea. Let's give out his home number, 612-270-9190.
Now if you need something at a Saints game, you know exactly who to call.
Saints baseball starts May 21st. Join us for Metropolitan State University, Minnesota Monday, Valley Fair Take Me Back Tuesday, and Walser Wednesday. Get your tickets at saintsbaseball.com.
Fun is good at CHS Field, St. Paul's front porch.
Spring is here, and you can feel the freshness in the air. And thanks to the Ole Store restaurant, you can taste the freshness for lunch today. Chef Oliver has released the seasonal menu, which impresses with locally sourced tastes of the season. Start the season off with a summer corn bruschetta. Taste the brightness of summer with a strawberry fig salad, and complete your meal with truly inspired sandwiches like the turkey caprese panini or lunch-sized portions of the Ole Store's most popular entrees. The Ole Store restaurant in Northfield. Make lunch an occasion today.
I like that name, panini. You know what a panini is?
It's a good thing.
I had I got a gift. My wife and I received a gift, and it was a panini pan. Whatever you make paninis in.
Yep.
I think it's still in the box, but I do like paninis. Okay, once again, folks, Craig Swenson, my guest on Kim. He's a class of 2003 and was manager for Bubba Sullivan's football team for 6 years. He is the younger brother of Chad. Chad Swenson is 3 years older, 37, and he is the son of Nancy and Alan Swenson, and Nancy works for a chiropractor in the community bank out on Highway 3, and Alan is retired from the railroad and helping his brother Don on a family farm out in Castle Rock. Get that all right?
Yeah, cool.
Okay, I met you at Toastmasters, and a former employee that I had hired on two occasions, Ray Young, and wanted me to come and join. And I told you that I joined, and I'm a paper guy because I don't want to do the homework you people do.
Yep.
And you people, it's amazing. It is amazing what I was impressed. So what? Why are you taking Toastmasters?
Well, I'm taking Toastmasters for multiple reasons. I want to improve my speaking skills, and then secondly, I actually want to get out and do some motivational speaking. And so I feel that Toastmasters would really be able to help me hone in with actually being able to do some public speaking and helping me figure out how to prepare the speech and get ready for the speeches to do some public speaking.
Well, that course will teach you. I mean, I don't know if you can't take criticism. It would be tough to give a bad speech at a Toastmaster club because you got like 10 people or right around 10 judging you on different phases of your speech. And I'm going, wow. And, you know, being in radio and all that, I'm going to get up there and they're going to just murder me. Because you have a set way of doing things. And that's good to learn that in your lifetime. There's no doubt about it. I remember thinking, I'd like to join that many, many, many years ago, but there were no clubs around. When does your club meet?
We meet the first and third Tuesday, at 6:30. And we meet now at 50 North. So we're meeting at 50 North on those days. And actually this year, or this month, we're actually going to add an extra one. So we do have a fifth Tuesday, and we'll be actually doing the fifth Tuesday of this month.
First, third, and fifth.
Yep.
First, third, and fifth. All right. The Defeat of Jesse James Day's committee meeting is on the third Tuesday of the month. So that's another excuse, all right? But I have to say that you did very well here today.
Well, thank you.
Now, is this something that you'll put in your books? I know you get a lot of pamphlets and whatever you say to fill out and critique yourself and all that. Will this interview today be something that you'll present to the Toastmasters Club as an exercise towards a certification or whatever?
It's not part of one of the requirements, but I think it would be great for the Toastmasters to actually do. So I may give some props to the Toastmasters at our next meeting to sign up with you and come on board and try it out.
Well, you're reading my mind. I do have a couple of cards, and I did interview one guy that was really interesting, real smartly dressed, good-looking guy. And it seems he runs a cleaner up in Minneapolis. You know who I mean? Well, it isn't important. But, yeah, let them know because everybody's interesting. And I thought, wow, a guy 34 years old, you know, usually if you have somebody that's been, you know, around for a while, they have more experiences and more to talk about. But we did okay, filling 2 hours of conversation. Is there anything I should ask you, let people know about you?
Not, I don't think so.
Are you single?
I am married.
You are?
I am married.
Well, you have kids?
No kids. Oh. I do have a fur baby.
A fur baby?
A fur baby. She's my golden doodle. Her name's Cleo.
A golden doodle?
Yep, a mixture of a golden retriever and poodle mix.
Wow, that's a smart dog.
Oh, she's extremely smart.
Yeah.
Extremely smart.
Wow. The big poodle's not little tiny one.
Yep,
okay.
65 pounds, and she's 15 months old.
Wow. Okay. And what's your wife's name?
My wife's name is Chantel.
Is Chantel from Northfield?
She's from the Byron, Rochester area, and then we moved back up here to Northfield, and she's now working at the Mayo Clinic in Faribault.
Oh. Okay. All right. I use the Mayo Clinic a lot, unfortunately. It's always nice to take Highway 52 and go right by 2nd Street.
There you go.
Keep on going. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Craig Swenson, my guest on the Wayne Eddy Affair on 1080 KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota. We are a friend you can count on. And coming up on your radio station, all kinds of interesting music, by the way. And I'm pushing all these buttons Northfield, Minnesota, KYMN, 1080 AM.
95.1. The One.
But I can hold on.